So we're up to Dan Lekav's chus, and he's talking about how Dan Lekav's chus is a midah that a person zoicha that when he's Dan Lekav's chus, Kodesh Baruch is Dan him Lekav's chus, which means Hashem will look at the person not like, you know, not knowing if he did right and wrong. Hashem doesn't down people in that way, but in terms of Hashem will see the positive part of it, okay, as opposed to the negative. Now, he brings down a whole bunch of things, and they're all different types of stories of Maisim that are in Chazal about this Midah, okay? So I don't know if we're going to go through all of them, but he brings one famous Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chof Zayin Amud Beis. He brings the Gemara Kuf Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Maybe I'll just bring it up on the computer, on the screen, and we'll share the screen. If you have it, the safer, you have the safer. And if you don't, then you look at the screen. Okay, so the Gemara goes like this, that there was a roya, there was a shepherd, and there was a story with a person. He came down from the upper Galil, Viniskar Eitzel Balabais, and he was hired by a, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't share the screen. Okay, Viniskar Eitzel Balabais Echad Badarim, and it's someone in the south of the country. He was hired by him, Sholish Shana, for 3 years. He was hired by him for three. You can bring a chair from there. He was hired to work for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippurim Amar Loi, Erev Yom Kippur. After the third year, he said, "Time's up." Dan Kavshos. Time's up. Tain li schari. Give me my reward. Give me my payment. Look, I have a wife and kids. I got to go back. I've been working for 3 years. Give me all my wages for 3 years worth of wages. And time to go. I'm a loy. Ain't li mois. So he says, I don't have any money to pay. I'm a loy. Okay. So tainly pay race. Fine. So at least give me pay race. So do you know money? Give me shavak kesef. Give me value. Give me pay race. I'm a loy. Ain't li. I don't have. Tainly karka, give me property. Ainly, I don't have. Tainly behema, so give me animals. Ainly, I don't have. Tainly kar muksa, give me some furniture, give me some linen. I don't have. Ainly. So the roya, who worked for 3 years, now gets stiffed by the balabayas. He has no cash to his name. Hifshil kalov la'achrav, he put his backpack with his little backpack on his shoulder. V'halach basically b'pachi nefesh, and he went home with nothing. La'achar regel, after the regel, not al balabais schare biyadoi. The balabais, after sukkis, went and took the wages that he owed the worker, v'imoy masri shloisha chamoirim, and he loaded up 3 chamoirim worth of matanais and gifts. Echad shemaychal, one was full of food, echad shemishal, one full of drink, v'echad shemini magadim, another full of delicacies, v'halach, loy lebeisa, and he found the worker. And then they ate. He paid him for his full wages.
That's a nice happy ending. I'm happy
what?
To hear.
So he asks, Reb Chaim asks in parentheses, what was that, Adam?
I'm happy to hear that it ended nicely. I felt really bad. This was not it was not mensch-like to do that to the guy, you know?
Yeah, don't worry. It's not the end of the story.
Oh, no.
Okay. And you think, yeah. Then the Gemara says, when you asked me, so the balabais asked the worker, when you asked me, tenli schari, pay me my wages, and I said, I don't have money. What did you think? What went through your mind? You know, I'm a wealthy guy. What do you mean I don't have money? He said, Amarti, you know what I thought? Maybe a good deal came up and you had to take all your cash and you had to buy the deal and temporarily you're out of cash. I knew you were going to pay me. I didn't think you were going to pay me. Don't worry. I knew you were going to pay me. I just thought you had no cash. But you used all your cash. Okay. But then when you asked me for animals, why didn't I give you the animals? What did you suspect me of? I thought you used all your animals and you rented them out in the meanwhile. And he says, so then you asked me for karka. And I told you, ain't the karka, but machashadatani. What did you think happened? Maybe you already leased it out in a sharecropper, so you had no access to the land. And what about food? They're not available. You didn't take off meiser yet. You can't give them to me. And what did you think when you asked me for linens and I said I don't have? Amarti, so the shepherd said back, Shema hikdish kol nechasav l'shamayim. Maybe whatever he had left, he made as hektish to shamayim. That's what I thought.
He's a tzaddik, this worker.
What?
He's a tzaddik. He really done lekav zechut.
Amar lai, and the workers and the baal bayis said back, ha avoida, a shavua, kachoya. Everything you thought was correct. That's exactly what happened. He darti kol nechasav b'shul horkenes b'ni. My name is Rabbi Lazar ben Horkenes. No. I wanted Horkenes to go learn. I had to go and make a neder. And you, okay? Now the Gemara continues a few other stories, but let's analyze this story for a moment. So this is a worker, pashut guy, and he down the kavshus in a way that is pretty incredible. Like Adam said right away, he's a tzaddik, this guy. So who is this? Who is this shepherd? Do we know anything about who this shepherd is? So the Chasam Sofer, the Ramami Panu says, when now? This up? Oh. The Ramami Panu said that the shepherd was Rabbi Akiva while he was still in Amaretz. Rabbi Akiva, before he learned Torah, was a shepherd. Before he learned Torah, it was Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Chaim over here brings that it's Mefurish in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, like that. This story, this is Rabbi Chaim's shtickle, that this story is brought in a different girsa in the Shiltas. And in the Shiltas, this is the Talmud Bavli's version of the story. But in the Shiltas, he says, Beferish, that it was Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef. Okay? Because it says that Rabbi Kiva ben Yosef. Okay, now, and then he says, by the way, well, it says he had wife and kids already. So he says, but the officer Rabbi Nosson says that it's Mavur and Rabbi Nosson that Rabbi Kiva had kids by the Amaretz. Okay. Now there's a Chasam Sofer. I heard from, I don't know who his wife was. So listen to this. So the Chasam Sofer says that he asks Akasha. He says, we know the famous story with Rabbi Kiva and Rachel, right? That she wanted to marry him. And her father, Kalvas ben Savua, was very, very unhappy. He was the wealthiest person. He wanted his daughter to marry a Talmud Chacham. And she goes ahead and marries a Talmud Aretz. So what's Taka Pshat and Rachel? What's Taka Pshat? Right, it's a great kasha. What? Her father-in-law's right. Why are you going to marry this guy? No, he has great potential. But I don't blame the father-in-law. How's she going to know that he's going to go see a stone and go to learn yeshiva for 40 years? I mean, just go marry a regular guy. What are you going to go marry a guy who's in Amaretz? And not only that, Rabbi Akiva, when he's in Amaretz, the Gemara says in Pesachim that Ba'idi Amaretz, I would break the neck of a Talmud Chacham in half if I saw him on Yom Kippur. He was not a very big tzaddik. I'm saying he wasn't the most learned guy. He was Amoritz. So what's Pshat and Rachel? So Chasam Sofer says that Rachel saw this story. She saw this story and she said, if he could do this story in Dan Kavshos, I want to marry him. That was Pshat and Rachel. You heard this?
No.
Okay, listen. It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
So Zakt Reborn Reich, he's Rav Schneer Kotler's son-in-law, is in Lakewood. So he said the following. He said that still, but he was still on Amaretz, my son, right? So he said, Gevald Gevart, he said, how can you find that by Gedolim, let's say like right now, everyone's being masked, but Abraham Kanievsky's, that's all. So everyone talks about the Torah, but then everyone in the middle sometimes talks about the Chesed, and all the Gedolim Moshe Feinstein, the greatest gadol Torah, but then Hefta Spaden, the greatest anav, the greatest anav, the greatest balmidas, the greatest kovish because. So he said like this. He said no. He's listen to this part. He says that there's an umbrella mida in a person called godless, and that the person when they're kind of something, they become a gadol in that thing. And if a person has that midah, whatever they end up getting involved in, they're going to become a gadol. If a person is the type of guy that he's a medium, like similar to what I was saying before, that he's a medium guy, he'll be medium in everything. If a person has the midah, there's an umbrella midah of how you do everything. So these gadolim, it's the same midah in them that pushed them to become gadol and Torah, then now they're gadol and midas also, right? So these stories that you find about in midas, you don't hear about from regular people. How can it be that this guy is the best in Midas and the best in Torah? Why doesn't it split the wealth, share the wealth a little bit? Get some people that are gadol meat. The answer is because if a person has this Midah that they can become a gadol, then they can become a gadol in everything. So Rachel, Pshat in the Chasam Sofer is, she saw this Midah that in Dan Lekav Schus, you could be the greatest Dan Lekav Schus ever in history. All I have to do is get him involved in learning, he can become the greatest gadol in Torah also. Because he has the midah of this midah of godless. As I said, Dr. Bruin Reich, Pshat and the Chasam Sofer, unbelievable. Right? So that's Pshat in this story. Because nobody in the right mind, after working for 3 years, would just go home. Right? Now, I'm still wondering what the wife thought. He goes home, he has wife and kids. Where are you after 3 years? The guy didn't pay me. What? Yeah, he might. No, he probably found a good deal. He had no cash on it. I'm not sure the wife bought into the whole story, right? So she must have, you know, been up there also. But Al Kaponim, now Reb Chaim goes on, brings the rest of the Gemara pretty much, and gives a whole bunch of different stories and different inyanim in Dan Lekav Schos. I don't know that we're going to go through each and every one of the stories because...
Hold on, time out for a second. Rabbi Akiva had another wife? Or it's the same one and she just reaffirmed why she married? Like something does the...
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, as I'm saying it, I had the same question. Meaning he was married already. So how could you say this is the story she saw? Right? It must be someone else. I don't know. That I don't know. At the end of this section on Dan Lekav Schos, Reb Chaim says a very important thing, okay? At the end of this section, he says the following. He says, V'im hayu kulon nizharin ladun lekav schos. Okay, in between he talks all the Gemaras and different stories of Dan Lekav Schos, similar to this story. And he says like this, if everybody would be nizar to Dan Lekav Schos, hayu nimnoim harbe machloikes umerivois. He says, we would have much fewer arguments, much fewer fighting, and much more shalom klai yisrael. Like it says in Rashi and Shabbos, Donis chaveru lekav schos, bichlal havo as shalom. Right? You know, every morning we say that one of the things which is, oichel perasem boilam azever ken kem shalom bo, the last one is, vavo as shalom ben adam lechaveru. So what does it mean, havo as shalom? Dan Lekav Schos. That's what he says.
To me, Uben Ish Lishto.
What?
Uben Ish Lishto.
Yeah. Exactly. So, to me, Turkish Machriya Lishos. Va'omar. Yeah. Look, he did something to me. It's not his fault. Maybe he meant something other than what I think. And it's fortunate anyone that can do this on a constant basis, they will avoid machlokes and they will have shalom. Okay.
I've also heard you always have to be like, you know, judging. The opposite, I mean, like every situation you have to judge. And like, if that means you have to step away because it's, you know, like, so I've heard it both ways, you know, like, Dan Lekav Schos, like, just close your eyes and then everything, you know, like, and then there's also like, you have to watch, you know, what you're getting involved in. You have to, you know, like, be almost like.
Right. You have to be choshed also. right?
Like, it's not a free pass. So it's I don't know. It's a mixed message.
I think what you're saying is for yourself, you have to be choshe, meaning you have to be careful what you get yourself into. But when you look at others, just judge them favorably. Right?
No, say that again.
In other words, when you're talking for yourself, you have to look at everything because make sure you don't get yourself in a bad situation. Like wrote the wrong, maybe business deal, the wrong
person. Right.
Look, you could see your kids playing with other kids and you think that the kids are not a good influence. You can down the kavzchut, you could like make a decision. You have to make a judgment. I don't think it's the right fit. I don't want my kids, whatever. And so it's tricky.
Right. It is.
Good,
it
but
is.
Also,
it goes both ways. You're right. It does go both ways. You're correct. You have to juggle that, but that shouldn't affect the way you view the other person, you know, objectively. It just has to do with, you know. So, all right.
Wait, we need to work it some more.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.